Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, the goal always to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property, using the supreme law of the land with the checks and balances and a whole lot more. It is the blueprint for liberty, after all, and the supreme law of our land. We reject rogue agents in government and stand for the proper role of peaceful constitutional government. It's called the Constitutional Republic, folks. Welcome to the show. Last Friday, we talked to Dr. Scott Bradley. We continued to discuss just who is Mike Johnson. Better than most, but not what I would put for the speaker personally. Hope he does really well. He's a Christian, so we hope for good things. But you know what? He's had a lot of pretty good compromises in the past. He's known as the big compromiser. That isn't looking good for constitutional principles. You know, you compromise them away so easily. Sad tale to tell. We talked about the tribute to the non-vaccinated by the French general, Christian Blanchon. The only safe vaccine is the one not taken, folks. We talked about there's monkey virus in the shots. Yeah, the World Health Organization, the WHO, has insisted that the mRNA COVID jabs do not affect human DNA. Turns out they were wrong, writes Matt Staver over at Liberty Counsel. They were absolutely wrong. New evidence shows. Several studies have now shown that the mRNA shots included simian virus, what is it, SV40. That's the monkey virus known to impact human DNA and cause rapid growth cancers. Wow. Along with other deadly consequences, some governments have even banned the shots now because of this reality check. Yeah, the WHO yet continues to insist that everybody take the COVID jab. The mainstream dishonest press tells us that, quote, turbo cancers is not even a real thing. They lie. It absolutely is a real thing, folks. Wow. All right, now, Dr. Scott Bradley's with me, and I have a little bit of good news for the good doctor. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, you know, I could use some good news, and I thank you for welcoming me, but, you know, today's the 85th anniversary of what people took as really bad news. This is when, back in 1938, October 30th, as part of a Halloween episode for the, on the radio, the Mercury Theater. It was the War of the Worlds broadcast. So many people took it as an actual event, and there were some deaths over that and everything like that. But, you know, people sometimes get sick and tired of scary things, and we sure talk about a lot of scary things when we get together, and maybe some good
news.
Yes,
we do. And they try to tell you they're not real things, but they are real things. Well, here's the deal. We just got done talking about the, monkey, the whatever virus and the jabs and all this stuff. And, you know, we covered last week in detail about how they claimed that there was nothing to the vaccines. They were all good and harmless and no problem. And we told you it was a lie right from the very beginning, folks. We told you the truth. And now more and more evidence that we're correct. Well, I think the American people might be listening to Liberty Roundtable live. And the reason I say that is because of this good news. Listen carefully. Fewer than 5% of all Utahns have received the latest COVID-19 jab since it was released in mid-September, a rate that lags behind, they say, the nationwide numbers that are being described as abysmal. So bottom line is people are not taking the jab, doctor. 5% in Utah is all. They say it lags behind the about 7% across the country. People are flat out not interested in the jab. They're realizing they've got dead relatives who took it, sick relatives who took it. They can tell you all day how the jabs are fine, but people are going, well, they might be fine, but not in my world because grandma's dead or because so-and-so's sick or because when I took it, man, look at the toll it
took on me. People are seeing the truth regardless of the lies being told in the media. That is the good news, Doctor.
Well, indeed it is. And the fact that only 5% in Utah have taken it, that's maybe some Utahns are waking up. I'm very much encouraged by that. I understand that the big pharma companies are kind of in a tailspin over this thing. Pfizer has a lot of other products that they put out, and so they got a little wider portfolio, if you will, a little more diversity of all sorts of other poisons that they've built. But I think Moderna is pretty much a one-tune kind of thing. You play one note even. Once you get away from the vaccine, the COVID thing, I don't think Moderna's got much depth. I think this could be really a pretty, you know, shake them to the bones kind of thing in terms of their stocks. But it's interesting to me. There are so many studies that I kind of try to pay attention to a lot of things. And one of them is that number one, this concept that it's safe and effective and a godsend has been proven to be absolutely, unequivocally, totally and completely false. People that are multiple vaccinated are getting multiple cases of the COVID. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that they're about the only ones that get it anymore. They've been a propensity to pick it up now. How many times has Joe Biden got it? And he's the pincushion guy that they always talk about getting everything right when they suggest it, you know. So, yeah, I think people, oh, man, I just hope that your good news hangs in there and people can continue to use wisdom. I think we'll have a healthier population. I think there'll be less deaths. I mean, think of all the young men, particularly healthy young men that seem to be, you know, just dying suddenly. So it's like, holy cow, they woke up dead this morning, you know. And I'm shocked at the news and the things that I hear. If people are not listening, they're probably the 5% that are getting the shot.
And, well, you're right about that, but that means a bunch of people are listening to us or other like-minded broadcasts, and we're not greedy. We don't care who, as long as you get the truth. We're okay with that, but the truth is starting to set people free from the COVID tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. Now, last week, we also talked about the 1983 Beirut barracks bombing 40, quote, years later, and we talked about the blowback that engenders. You know what? If the mission is peacekeeping and there's no peace to keep, shouldn't you just get the heck out of there is the point to be made? Israel attacks the USS Liberty. History repeats itself, folks. I pray we don't have problems, but if you think we cannot be part of this, you're wrong. The bombing remains the largest single-day loss of life for Marines since the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II, folks. That was back when they had this bombing we're talking about 40 years ago. What's it going to look like today with an Israel conflict? U.S. military warns other people to stay out of it this time, but they say no nukes. Then they say you better follow the rules of war. Doctor, help me understand the rules of war. How do you create a war and then say, obey the rules, doctor? Please, obey the rules. Come on now. We can only have a fight that puts us in control. You know?
Yeah.
You got to make sure you fight fair. What are they talking about? That isn't the way wars work, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, wars truly are institutionalized, legalized mass murder. And
yes, they are.
You know, it's interesting to me that they set up these, you know, these rules of war engagement, you know, no expanding bullets and things like that. And you look at the bunker busters of today and the way modern warfare is carried out against populations. I mean, we've done this a number of times, even against one nation, Iraq. When we'd go in and we'd do the shock and awe thing and they'd say, oh, we're just targeting, you know, military or strategic sites. And, you know, you take out the infrastructure. That's one of the first things you do, the clean water, the water delivery systems, the sewer systems, the electrical systems. And it creates an environment where even though they didn't die in the blast, the very most vulnerable individuals, the youngest and the oldest people in the society, are most vulnerable to death because They're the ones that get the sicknesses that result from that. You can't get good hospitalization. And so you can't drink clean water.
Yeah, sanitary conditions go south in a second, really, folks.
They do. And it's, you know, like, that's not against the rules of war. But, you know, you look at, I don't know if you've been watching much, some of these bunker buster things that are happening. Holy Hannah. I mean, this is horrific. Released
yeah.
among
Make sure you obey the rules, and it's a peaceful war that follows the rules, okay? It's like, what are these people talking about? Right now, folks, we're sending a, quote, U.S. Marine Rapid Response Force moving towards Israel as the Pentagon strengthens military posture in region. CNN even with that piece, folks. I don't even know how to deal with this except to say this. Our duty is to concentrate all of our influence to make popular that which is sound and good, and unpopular that which is unsound. We have got to work on that, folks. We have got to work on the four main steps that it takes to restore our constitutional republic. Doctor, highlight those real quick, will you?
Well, the primary, first and foremost one, and that was one we're way behind the curve on. Well, we're way behind the curve on all of it. I mean, actually, we're in the mess we're in right now because we quit applying these principles decades and decades ago. Sounds like we got a break to take. Maybe we
turn to God Almighty.
Yeah. That's the first
That's
thing.
That's number
Second
one.
Thing, and then after that, you got to understand the principles, and then you got to live them and help others live them.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about Mr. Speaker released the J6 footage. McCarthy wouldn't do it. Will you get it done, MAGA Mike?
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsizingthesun.com, and yours truly. So the second piece of good news, the first one is fewer than 5% of all Utahns are taking the jab, the latest jab, and about 7% in the country. That's a great news piece. Less vaccines, more stability and life for people. But the next piece of good news, and I've got several of them this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the second piece of good news is this. Mike Pence suspends presidential bid, quote, this is not my time, he says. You think? We've been telling you that from the start, Pence. Anyway, at least you won't have Mike Pence as your president. That's some good news, doctor.
The get-go
Uh-oh.
On this.
All right, are you there? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'm here. Are you there?
Yes,
Can
sir.
Can you hear me? Test 1, 2, 3. All right. Yeah, I think the handwriting's been on the wall since the get-go with Mike Pence. I don't think that – I mean, it was a non-starter. There was no traction. It's a no-go. It just wasn't going to happen. So finally, I don't sometimes understand what's going on with some of these people that kind of are in the main – I don't know. They're
right, so out of touch, they don't have a clue what's really happening on the ground, Doctor. That's really the bottom line. Look, Donald Trump said there was election fraud. And Americans believe there was election fraud, Doctor. And what happened in Mike Pence said, I'm not going to go down that road. He acted like it was one or the other. I suggest a third avenue. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that there's a third option. I mean, number one, you don't have to say there's 100% election fraud, force the president to stay in power. You don't have to do that, which is what, you know, they say Donald was advocating for. I'm not sure that's true. Or the other idea, which is just throw Donald Trump under the bus and say there's no election fraud. Why don't you do the third plan, which is, look, you know what? The American people are concerned about election integrity issues. I, as, you know, the final vote kind of guy in Congress, I'm going to say, you've got to look into this. I expect it. When they talk about Pence, they talk about always or never, like always Trump, never Trump, always election fraud, never election fraud, but nothing in the middle. What about the idea that, look, we're going to look into this? That's a road Pence never took. Well, the American people hold Pence responsible for a lot of this, and he comes across as a grumpy old man that just wants to go to war. When he literally goes to Vivek Ramaswamy, oh, you don't have enough experience. You got to have an experienced person. And my response is, what, an experienced person that gets us $30-plus trillion in debt? A guy that basically puts us in eternal wars? A guy that literally lies about election and pretends that his boss is out in the weeds and that there's no middle ground here? Why not find real? Mike found no real solution. I think it's great news he's out of the race. He's the old guard, the deep state, sad to say. Any final thoughts on that, Doctor?
No, I think you've kind of smeared that one pretty good.
The only question is, who should we put in his place, in my opinion, now? See, that's the opportunity. Maybe Dr. Scott Bradley needs to run for president again.
Yeah, well, nobody was interested in that. And by the way, you know, Ramaswamy, I mean, we could talk at length about how he doesn't qualify constitutionally in the tradition of the Founding Fathers and the original intent and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if you want to spend a few minutes on that, I mean, I've got Vattel's book right here that can explain what natural citizen is and stuff like that.
Yeah, talk about Ramaswamy. Let's do it.
Well, okay. Here's the deal. The American Founding Fathers did this little silly thing in the Constitution about the only people that are authorized to be able to be president now in our day, because in those days there were some guys that would have qualified, but everybody that fell into that category, you know, all that time ago or all passed away. But the Constitution specifically says that no persons except a natural-born citizen shall be eligible for the office. Okay, that's plain and simple. Well, what's a natural-born citizen? Well, it's not defined in any Federalist Papers. It's not defined in any of the farewell addresses or speeches or anything that the American Founding Fathers put out. But there was a book that had been in the possession of the American Founding Fathers. It was published in 1758, a guy by the name of Vattel. He was a Swiss diplomat, statesman, you know, philosopher, writer, all that kind of stuff. And he wrote a book called The Law of Nations that was translated into English in 1759 and then sent to the United States. And as the founding fathers got together in, you know, their congresses in this nation, they had that book in front of them. They understood it well. Jefferson, Madison, Washington, Franklin, all of these guys had it in their library, okay? Well, Washington borrowed one from the library and forgot to turn it back in. Anyway, there's a long story about how that was made right. But at any rate, that book, The Law of Nations, defines a natural citizen. Book 1, Chapter 19, Section 212, for those of you that are interested in that kind of stuff. And I wish there was time to read you the couple of pages on this thing. I'll just read you a couple of little segments on it. The natives or natural-born citizens are those born in the country of parents who are citizens. Ramaswamy's parents were not citizens, did not become so until much later. In fact, his father never has. Skipping down a little bit, the country of the father is therefore that of the children. Okay. Skipping down a little bit.
Hold on. Whoa. I want to stop you there because this is important. The country of the father is the country of the children. They're making a really important point here because people look to their parents for stability, safety, leadership. Okay. A parent that is not a citizen in America is always a flight risk.
Well,
a parent that is not a citizen,
risk.
A parent that is not only or is not a citizen, we don't know where their allegiance is. That's what some of these things have to do with, right?
There's no question. And so we go on with this. Again, I mean, if we get a couple of minutes, again, I'm going to just read you little tiny snippets, but they were very specific about even where a ship was where you were born and how that affected your citizenship, okay? Okay, so just a little more. In order to be of the country, it is necessary that a person be born of a father who is a citizen. For if he be born there of a foreigner, it will be only the place of his birth and not his country, okay? And then naturalization, they talk about that at some length. Well, Vattel did. And this plays into this thing in the second article of the Constitution. You cannot grant certain things, including elected office, just by legal, you know, assumption, because it does not qualify. Okay. All right. Going on. By the law of nature alone, children follow the condition of their fathers and enter into all their rights. The place of birth produces no change in this particular. Okay, then it talks about children born at sea and aboard whose ships and if they're in a port and all that kind of stuff. But at no time does anybody say anybody that's born in the United States on a U.S. Flagged ship in a U.S. port or anything of non-U.S. citizens, are they ever a citizen? Okay. Now, the Law of Nations, by the way, is referred to in another place, and that has to do with the war-making powers in Article 1, Section 8. This didn't have to be defined because it's like you don't have to define pizza in this country to anybody that's over age 4. If you're over age 4, you know what pizza is. If you were participating in the founding of this nation, you knew what a natural-born citizen was because that documentation had been obtained even before we were a nation, and it's defined very well in the Law of Nations by Vattel. So we need to understand that a Supreme Court decision in 1982, which is the Plyler v. Doe case, where it is a footnote, they says anybody that happens to be here and gets born, they're a citizen. Okay, and they use the 14th Amendment to say that's the case. The problem is that when that 14th Amendment was written, Article 1 is where they go out of that, the senator that was on the committee out of Michigan that was putting that together spoke on the Senate floor. It was Senator Jacob Howard of Michigan, and he says, no, this doesn't apply to foreigners, aliens, ambassadors, anybody like that. This was to help the people that had previously been in slavery to be considered as citizens. Okay, that was the sole and only purpose of that. But in 1982, that was changed by a Supreme Court decision. Now, if you'll go back and carefully read Article 1, Section 8, you'll find the fact that Congress has the power to do the naturalization stuff. Okay, so all of this stuff's upside down and backwards. And Ramaswamy's parents were not citizens, and he's not qualified in the tradition of the Founding Fathers. We could talk at more length about this, about subsequent laws, but that
we'll do
started.
It. People are going to debate this till the cows come home, though. They're going to say that's not a strict reading of the Constitution. It doesn't go into that detail, and they've muddied the waters on who's qualified, and I'll tell you why in seconds as well on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Israeli forces are now in the second phase of their war against Hamas. Laura Winters reports.
Israel starting the second phase of the war to wipe out Hamas terrorists, the IDF. Israeli Defense Forces warning citizens in northern Gaza to get out now and head south for food and water. The Israeli military moving in to destroy Hamas and get the hostages home. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying this is Israel's second war of independence. The war, the direct result of Hamas terrorists killing 1,400 Jews at a festival and at a kibbutz, shooting many in the head, raping women, beheading babies, and setting Jews on fire and burning down their homes to the ground.
In Florida, Tampa police are reporting two people are dead and 18 others were injured in a shooting after a fight between two groups broke out in the streets early yesterday morning in Tampa's Ybor City. Officers were present when the incident happened just before 3 a.m. local time. Authorities believe there were at least two shooters involved. The judge overseeing GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump's January 6 case is reinstating a gag order imposed on him.
The limited gag order was temporarily stopped earlier this month, with the judge denying the former president's request to pause the order while his appeal plays out. The order denies Trump from making certain statements about both the special counsel team or potential witnesses. I'm Dave Collins.
The United Auto Workers Union is growing its strike against General Motors. Shortly after the union announced a tentative deal with Stellantis over the weekend, the UAW said it will order roughly 4,000 workers to walk out of GM's Spring Hill assembly plant in Tennessee. The auto workers have been on strike since September 15th. USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
All right, great news. Mike Pence suspended his presidential campaign. He says, quote, "This is not my time. I don't think you're going to get a time again. You come across as a grumpy old man. You're part of the deep state. No luck for you, Mike." That's good news, in my humble opinion. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy, all the rage. Is Vivek Ramaswamy constitutionally qualified to be president of the United States of America? Experts say no, Dr. Bradley.
Well, if you're going by the tradition of the Founding Fathers and what the original intent was and all that kind of stuff, I mean, Ted Cruz didn't qualify, Rubio didn't qualify, Obama didn't qualify. I mean, all of these things, a lot of people say the water's been muddied, you know, the Nationality Act of 19...
Yeah, and I think they've done it on purpose.
Oh, there's no question. But, I mean, if you look at any of those individuals, and the fact of the matter is that, again, we're in a condition where Americans have become so distant from, you know, their governance and the...
Yeah, Barack Obama even taught if you're in this country and if you vote, you're a citizen. I mean, so you could literally, according to Obama's idea, you could literally have somebody that's not even literally a citizen because they voted, then run for election and hey, be a citizen and they're elected and they're fine. We've literally, pardon the, you know, use of words here, but we have bastardized this whole intent of the Founding Fathers on this thing, folks. But now you've got Eric Adams literally shipping migrants out of New York City, folks. Think about that. He first criticized everybody who was taking on illegals to the point where the boat's about to sink, you know, and then he got mad and said, oh my gosh, you guys are horrible. So everybody started shipping them to him, and now he's freaking and shipping them somewhere else. It's got that bad. So we have created a crisis regarding immigration and a misunderstanding regarding, you know what, who is loyal to America and why. And that's really what matters here. These people are flight risks. These people are dangerous. These people don't have loyalty to the United States. They don't understand the principles that made America great. They don't follow the checks and balances. They don't have a reverence for turning to God instead of government. I mean, I can go on, Doctor, but these are just some of the issues at stake, right?
Well, here's, you know, you talk about the what's happening with all these illegals and everything like that. Let's just take our home state of Utah. Let's take the illegals that have come into the country unimpeded and are, you know, they give them a ticket and let them go and they ship them anywhere in the country and all that kind of stuff. We've had the equivalent of more than 2 1/3 states in Utah. If you take Utah as an average state, and I don't know, I don't think they're average, probably way below average, but at any rate, 2 1/3, the population of Utah right now is about 3.4 million people. And if you divide that into, you know, the 8 million illegals that have come in the country since Biden came to office, that's just not that long ago, folks, less than 4 years, you have more than 2 1/3 states have been created or could have been created by the influx of illegals. I mean, it's 4 states of Nebraska. I mean, think about this for a while. I mean, just take whatever state you're in and divide it into 8 million and say, oh, yeah, that's a certain percentage of growth of the number of states just on the illegals right now. And so, you know, it's one of those things where we have a major problem with loyalty, with dedication, with understanding of the baseline principles of the nation. And the problem is that not a single soul seems to be paying attention. Let me just give you a brief reading of Thomas Jefferson on immigration and this faulty belief system that we currently have today. Jefferson, I mean, this is an icon of liberty. You know, he said, "Give every species of government has its specific principles. Ours, perhaps, is more peculiar than those of any other in the universe. To these, nothing can be more opposed than the maxims of absolute monarchies." Pause for just a moment. That's where most people were coming from back in Jefferson's day. Monarchies. Today, they're coming from socialist countries. Our country is not and never was designed to be a socialist country, although by, as you say, bastardizing it, we have come to that point. But so
now, Arizona, by the way, has 7.1 million people in it, so it's like creating an Arizona.
Right.
Okay, and when you look at how many illegals are in the country and you look at, you know, I mean, what's the number? Some are saying it's upwards of 20, 30 million. In that case, you would create 4 Arizonas.
Right now, I mean, we're at least 30 million illegals here,
yeah.
I would say. That's
so you're talking about 4 Arizonas at least, folks, 4 different states. And think about 2 senators from each state, plus how many ever congressmen are in a state like that, 4, 5, 6. You know, you've lost a lot of representation. Not only do you have illegals that don't have the right to vote or the ability to vote, not only do they not care about our laws or anything else, you have changed the affairs of our nation to the point where, hey, it's disaster. And I know a lot of people are going to go, look, leave Vivek alone. He's an American citizen. He's a novelty. He's a success story. His parents came to America poor, and he's done well. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to a lot of those points. But it doesn't negate the point we're making, Doctor.
Kissinger's a U.S. citizen. Would you want him as president? I mean, holy cow. Let's go back to Jefferson. It gets worse from what he said. These people that are coming in are not, if you will, steeped in our heritage. Okay, going on. Yet from such we are to expect the greatest number of immigrants. They will bring with them the principles of the governments they leave, imbibed in their early youth, or if able to throw them off, it will be in exchange for an unbounded licentiousness, passing as is usual from one extreme to another. It would be a miracle were they to stop precisely at the point of temperate liberty. These principles, with their language, they will transmit to their children in proportion to their numbers. They will share with us the legislation. Oh, there's your legislation. They will infuse into it their spirit, warp and bias its directions, and render it a heterogeneous, incoherent, distracted mass.
And this is the problem with a lot of these Muslims or Islamic-type agenda. They're getting elected all over the place. You got this Keith Ellison that's like this Islamic jihadist kind of guy that was the first Muslim or, you know, Islamist in Congress. Now he's the, you know, Attorney General of the state of Minnesota. We're getting infiltrated by people who don't know our heritage, who don't believe in our way of life, our rule of law, looking to God rather than government. They don't believe in these things, Doctor, is the problem.
Well, see, you know, there's no religious test. Go look at your Constitution. There's no religious test. But here's the deal. You take an oath to the uphold the United States Constitution, and a lot of people, let's take the Sharia law stuff, they want to make that the law of the land. And it's not. And in fact, Jefferson addressed that too. He addressed the fact, well, Sharia law allows like honor killings, for example. Your daughter goes out with an infidel and she comes home from the date and you behead her or run over with a car or whatever you do. But and these have been instances of happening. And Jefferson said things that are crimes are not allowed in the name of religion. And Jefferson actually goes back to the words of Jesus Christ and says his is the most, it's the purest embodiment of what these crimes and so on should be. And the religious freedom doesn't allow crimes that are against everything that Americanists understand. So if someone's a Muslim and they are in office, they are bound by their oath of office to uphold the United States Constitution. And in such a case, they can't carry out running roughshod over the things that we hold sacred and always have. I mean, so it's one of those things where it's our governing document. You know, your United States Constitution and your state constitution basically are the embodiment of your limits and bounds. And they are limits and bounds. You cannot go beyond those limits and bounds and be an American.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's important to understand this. And I have nothing against Vivek Ramaswamy from a personal point of view. The guy's a nice guy. The guy's articulate. The guy understands the Constitution better than most. The guy has worked hard and made something of his life. The guy believes in family. A lot of things he says I agree with. Really, a lot of them. The problem, though, becomes, you know, hey, first off, is he a Christian? No, he's not. And you say, well, Sam, there's no religious litmus test. There's not a religious litmus test. That's true. But there is my belief of we are a Christian nation. And so, you know what, if you don't understand those Christian principles, you know, I don't know how much you can be on the same page as I am. Now, that's not really meant to attack anybody, but it is meant to highlight. You know, I can't say, well, somebody's evangelical or Methodist or that I'm going to be against them. But what about just the general Christian idea? Do they understand and agree with general Christian principles? And if they don't, is it a litmus test or is it a principles test, Doctor?
Well, Vivek claims to be a monotheistic Hindu, basically, you know, because the Hindu religion is has got a
go ahead and skip
bunch
the break. Go ahead, Doctor.
They got a whole bunch of gods, but he claims to have been affected by some people in his life earlier that encouraged him into a monotheistic point of view. And I don't have any problem with anybody's belief system. I do have a problem with this baseline thing. If you're not qualified constitutionally, we can't wink and nod and send somebody on their way. We couldn't do it with Cruz. We couldn't do it with Rubio. We shouldn't have done it with Obama. This stuff matters. And we are in a position right now, our republic could fail. I mean, you talk about the basis of it. John Adams said our Constitution was only made for a moral and a religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. I mean, you look at what Washington said about religion and morality. You look at what Samuel Adams said about it. You know, this idea of moral basis of freedom is absolutely essential. So we are morally bound to keep the Constitution until changed by an authentic act of the whole people. That's what George Washington said in his farewell address. It says what it says. You can't wink and nod and decide, He's a pretty good guy. He's rich, and he's made a big thing. He's made a big splash. Everybody talks about him being just, you know, this guy that's, you know, he's got some great ideas. But if he doesn't qualify, he doesn't qualify. You can't. Well, Orrin Hatch, Utah's late senator, promoted the idea of Arnold Schwarzenegger being president. He didn't qualify.
Not qualify. And he even acknowledges that he's not qualified.
I'm not a communist. His dad was a Nazi, a Nazi operative. And he was born in Austria, if I recall correctly. He didn't qualify. You know, you look at people through history that don't qualify. I mean, I mentioned Kissinger. I mean, people say, yeah, but he's, you know, he's this great statesman. I mean, holy cow, we could talk about that and drag that through the mud all day with what he did to our service people coming out of Southeast Asia that were captured and so on. But Henry Kissinger, in spite of the fact that he's some PhD, wise man, statesman, you know, the lord and master of all of the grandfather of all statesmanship, he's not qualified. And we can't just say, just because, you know, they're a good guy, we can let them in. We can't. We just simply can't. I mean, they could be here, they can become citizens, but they cannot become president of the United States. And we've got to start saying this is, it's not just a line in the sand or something scratched into concrete. It is gold. It's not something that can be redefined. I mean, it just isn't. So, and it's not the tradition of the Founding Fathers. It's not the original intent, and the Founding Fathers understood what a natural-born citizen was, just what they understood in war-making and the Law of Nations in Article 1, Section 8. They studied this stuff, and as I pointed out as we were reading what was in that Law of Nations, they were very specific.
And they wanted to make sure that the United States was never infiltrated by those who wouldn't have allegiance to her or the moral principles that she was founded upon. That's really the bottom line here, right?
Well, in fact, until fairly recently, you had to basically renounce any allegiance to any other country. And if you were a royalty, you had to, you know, renounce your title and everything else like that. No other allegiance anywhere. Now we have dual citizens that hold lots of offices. In fact, probably, and I can't prove this without some further research, but I would venture to guess that the dual citizenship condition that's most held in the United States today by those that are holding office. Okay, so you get senators, congressmen, think about those people, is Israeli. I would venture to guess you have more Israeli dual citizens in the United States leadership right now than any other single dual citizenship. And it's like, no, wait, this renouncing of any allegiance to anybody else was important right from the get-go on this thing. And in fact, if I go back to this 1795, if I can find it here quickly, sometimes I get talking faster than I got this in front of me. But the 1795 thing absolutely called for the renouncing. Okay, here it is in section 4. I declare on oath or affirmation before some of the court said, blah, blah, blah. And it tells some of the things that they've done to get ready there, that he does absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, whatever, and particularly by name the prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, of whereof he was before a citizen or subject, with proceedings shall be recorded with the court. Okay, so that you've got to renounce all of that stuff. That was the 1795 citizenship thing. Okay, in section 6, if you had a hereditary title or been in any order of nobility, make an express renunciation of his title or order of nobility. See, they were saying, we don't want any other allegiances. And nowadays, again, my guess, and based on the voting that's going on, probably even as we speak, the dual citizenship condition with Israel is probably the most prominent dual citizenship situation for those that are in leadership in the United States. That was never intended by the American founding fathers. the Constitution, Article 1 says, you can be somebody that came to the United States and you have been here and you become a citizen and everything like that. And you can serve in the House and you can serve in the Senate. But the intent was never to have a split personality on this, a schizo loyalty. And it's really tragic where we have taken this right now. I mean, today it has become as clear as mud. And it's probably quicksand more than mud. I don't know. We're into trouble here.
We are in trouble on a lot of fronts, ladies and gentlemen. We got to pray for the best. But I got another piece of good news. You ready for it? There's a new word, Dr. Bradley.
Absolutely. I'm ready. Go for it. Go for it.
All right. Here it is. There's a new Hollywood term. It's called nomance. You ever heard of that?
Say it again. Say it again.
There's a new word, and it's called nomance.
Nomance, like no romance? What? I mean,
that's correct, sir. That's right. And the reason why is they say this for Gen Z, a new Hollywood term, nomance, has come out. New survey finds that younger audiences want, quote, fewer sex scenes and more, quote, platonic relationships on screen. And it goes on to say the newer generations prefer less sex scenes in the media. They would like Hollywood to stop forcing them to awkwardly sit through sex scenes. A new study out of UCLA brings this forward per Variety. Data from the Center for Scholars and Storytellers. I guess the latest Teens and Screens report says, hey, we don't want all this sex stuff all the time. It's awkward, it's weird, and we want less of it. What do you think of that, Doctor?
Well, you know, I have kind of a mixed emotion. I'm not looking for explicit sexual, depictions in so-called entertainment. Not by any means. Don't misunderstand this. But I guess I'm a little. How about healthy relationships, husbands and wives that love each other and their children, and depicting them in a kind of a positive setting where the traditional family and you know boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they fall in love, they get married, and then they have children, stuff like that, you know. In today's kind of best of times and worst of times scenario, a lot of times intimacy has nothing whatsoever to do with childbearing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, not intimacy, but marriage has nothing to do with intimacy. I mean, I would like to see healthy kinds of, I don't know what's wrong with people kind of figuring out that, hey, people get together and I'm afraid that some people will twist this into a platonic relationship between two boys that somehow take up residence together. I don't know what you call it. But the fact of the matter is, it could be a double-edged sword. I would like to see.
I agree, you know, but all I can say is this. If we have less perverted sex on screen, that's a good start. Now, if we want to define relationships more to be, you know, male and female the way God intended, God ordained marriage, God ordained family, and appropriately have, instead of no romance or nomance is the term, maybe we create a new term that would be like, hey, proper romance. Moral romance where, you know what, boy calls upon girl. They court, they eventually decide to wed and then they have romance through their relationship as husband and wife. Appropriate romance that's not like weird, awkward, go get a room kind of stuff, but more like, you know what, they're so cute. I believe it. Wow, good for them. Their loyalty, their friendship, their and one of the things that the study points out is they want all aspects of relationships to be highlighted. And again, you're right. This could go south in a hurry if you're not very careful. But so I'm not really for the term nomance, but I will say hey, fewer sex scenes and more, you know, relationships on screen in a meaningful way. We just need to make sure that goes right. But it's a start. At least they're rejecting the perversion that they're seeing all the time on the screen. Now we got to teach them and channel them in a way that's more productive and meaningful. I agree 1,000% with a good doctor. It's up to us to make sure it doesn't go off the rails, doctor.
Well, I agree with that. And by the way, while you've been talking, I did a quick look up. My statistics are old. They may not even be absolutely completely accurate because this is a quick search on the internet. This is probably 6 years old at least, maybe eight. 13 U.S. senators have Israeli dual citizenship. 27 House of Representatives members have dual Israeli citizenship, according to this list here. It's a tragic thing. I just wanted to jump back and say this is a real thing, people. But the thing with romance and everything like that, I would love to see a reinforcing of traditional values constantly. There are people that are trying to make such movies, and they're pleasant, entertaining. They feel good when you get done with it. I could tell you a story. I know we're out of time, really, about some things that happened one time when I encouraged that kind of thing with some business relationships that I had, where people were able to actually, you know, we were being on the road with a whole crew of people. It's a long story, but people that actually said, hey, thanks, Bradley. I'm going back. I'm going to go back to my hotel room. I'm going to call my wife and tell her what we did tonight. Now, I know for a fact some of those guys would have done things that they never would have called their wife about. But because we encouraged good, wholesome, elevating kinds of activities, and the people were that when they got done participating, it was like, this is really good. I feel good about my family.
Yeah, Kenny Chesney wrote a song about this called The Good Stuff. It's a country song, and he decides he gets in a fight with his wife, and he takes off, and he goes to the bar. And when he gets there, instead of it being this pumping bar and everything going great, nobody's there. And he goes in, and the old bar keeps half asleep. And anyway, long story short, he says, hey, give me the strongest stuff you got. And the barkeep goes, you don't want that. And he pours him a glass of milk, and they have a chat. And the barkeep tells this guy about how his wife died and how he misses her and about his daughter and about his family. And then there's a picture and he sees the wife and the barkeep says, you know what? Go home to her. When she says she's sorry, say, so am I. That's the good stuff. It's a country song that highlights the very point you're making, doctor.
Well, yeah. And you know what? We need more of that kind of stuff. And I applaud the idea that some of this gratuitous, illicit, all this kind of nonsense that's going on is just, we need to, you know, expunge that from our lives. And you know what? We can choose to do that as individuals. Our spouses can you know, choose that themselves. We can choose it within our families, within our congregations. And there was a Miller case that the Supreme Court had, and I know we're running out of time. Communities can choose their own standards. And we can understand some discussion why that's not happening so much anymore because of some polluting other things. But the point of the matter is we can choose a better standard. We darn well better start doing it.
Couldn't agree more. Kenny Chesney's The Good Stuff highlights it very well. Ladies and gentlemen, it really kind of helps you understand. We can go a different direction. And I get that Gen Z might not be thinking about it the way we are. But I can tell you this as a start. A rejection of Hollywood's perversions. That's a start, folks. Let's take it and let's make sure we point to true north for the younger generation, shall we? All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Thank you, Dr. Bradley.
All right, well, thanks for having me on board again, and hopefully we'll be able to get back together this Friday.
Roger that. FreedomsRisingSun.com is the website for the good doctor. Check out his collegiate series on To Preserve the Nation. Check out his award-winning weekly webinars, constitutional Q&A, and more. All right. That's it. FreedomsRisingSun.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.